President Trump has been in office less than 2 weeks, and he's already indicating a war on cartels. In case you missed it, Trump's DUI hire for Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth went on Fox and Friends to announce this brilliant plan.
The drug cartels have been declared terrorist organizations. And if you find that, and we know if there's Al-Qaeda, we're going to hit them. I don't care if you're in Somalia, Sudan, or in Syria. If we find that they continue to fire at our border control and they continue to put fentanyl into our country, as the Secretary of Defense, are you permitted now to go after them in Mexico or wherever they are?
Brian, I don't want to get ahead of the president, and I won't. That's ultimately going to be his decision. But let me be clear, all options will be on the table. If we're dealing with what are designated to be foreign terrorist organizations who are specifically targeting Americans on our border, and we're finally securing our border. We've been securing other people's border for a very long time. The military is orienting, shifting toward an understanding of homeland defense on our sovereign territorial border. That is something we will do and do robustly.
Now, this isn't just Hegseth popping off and saying something wild, something unsubstantiated. On day one of his administration, President Trump classified cartels as terrorist organizations. That order claims that these cartels pose a national security threat to the United States, and that it's American policy to, quote, ensure the total elimination of these organizations' presence in the U.S. Now, the U.S. has had no success on the war on terror or the war on drugs, so they naturally thought they would fuse the two together and have a war on a terrorist drug cartel. The original war on drugs was waged by Nixon back in 1971, and it's still ongoing. More than 50 years later, we're losing it as we make more than 1.5 million drug arrests every single year. But no, let's fight cartels and ignore the fact that things have not been going so well since 1971. While Trump considered it during his first term, and Obama even considered it while he was president, this policy of terrorist organization cartels never materialized until now. So what's the big deal? Is it just semantics? No. In fact, it's a crafty way for the government to do what it does best, or should I say the worst, wage wars on other countries. While the U.S. can fight cartels with sanctions and criminal charges, a terrorist designation will significantly broaden those options. For example, material support prosecutions can now be brought against the cartel, which means anyone who assists these cartels in any capacity could face penalties. This could hurt U.S. businesses who might be involved with the cartel. This designation could also hurt diplomatic relations between Mexico and the United States. But that's not what Trump is focused on. That's a pretty good way to accomplish that total elimination that he mentioned in the executive order. Now, back in 2003, President Bush warned of a shock and awe campaign when we invaded Iraq. You could watch it on TV and be horrified in real time. That was a war overseas in another country. But this war would be much closer to home. Not only are Mexico's drug cartels just along our southern border, they've managed to set up shop all across the United States. Take a look at this map. The six major drug cartels have hubs of influence in nearly 100 cities. In my home state of Ohio, the Beltran Levea organization is in Columbus. They're also in Cincinnati, along with the Sinaloa cartel. Imagine what happens when Trump fires an airstrike at cartels in Mexico. Do you think they're going to keep the war? Head on up to Toledo and you'll find the Sinaloa cartel there as well, in addition to the Gulf cartel. Imagine what happens when Trump fires an airstrike at cartels in Mexico. Do you really think that they're going to keep the war there and just fire at our military? No. To win the war, they'll activate their hubs of influence all over the country. Not sure about you, but activating the cartel in America was not something I wanted to see pop up on my 2025 bingo card. If you thought it was atrocious when a gang took over an apartment complex in Colorado last year, what are you going to do when the cartel is warring in your backyard? What happens when Columbus becomes Culiacan? I'll tell you, just last month, brothers Gail and Alexander Sarmiento, ages 12 and 9, were fatally shot along with their father when an armed man tried to steal their vehicle. This came on the heels of a civil war between two rival factions of the Sinaloa cartel that began nearly 4 months ago. Since then, disappearances have more than doubled in the Sinaloa region, with more than 200 people vanishing. Think that's bad? Well, consider the catastrophe that happened when Ovidio Guzman, the son of El Chapo, was arrested in 2023. The operation set off a wave of violence. Vehicles were set on fire, gunfights erupted, and roadblocks went up. In the immediate aftermath, 10 military members and 19 suspected members of the Sinaloa cartel were killed. And that was just for the arrest of one guy. Can't wait for that level of violence to show up in Columbus. A war against a cartel might be hard to imagine, but let me try and paint a clearer picture. First, Mexico's cartels are a massive business. They bring in a revenue of around $3 billion annually, according to the Congressional Research Service. And that was estimated more than a decade ago. That means the cartels are roughly the size of NASA or the Department of State. Not only are drugs a lucrative industry for the kingpin in charge, but it's a large part of Mexico's economy. Researchers estimate that 175,000 people work in the industry. That would make the cartels the country's fifth largest employer. The head of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, Ann Milgram, told Congress in 2023 that Mexico's two most powerful criminal organizations, the Sinaloa Cartel and the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, had nearly 45,000 members, associates, facilitators, and brokers. But here's the worst part. Since this is all underground, illicit, a black market business, who knows what the real revenue and employment figures even are? It's not like they're publishing official financial documents. It could be, and likely is, making much more money and employing far more people than we can realize. If the United States is going to come after a $3 billion and 175,000-member organization, chances are they aren't going to take it lying down. Trump may be used to everyone in his sphere bending over and taking it.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
But I don't think the cartel is. Secondly, a cartel response to a military airstrike against them is going to trigger retaliation, and that will come in a form in which the U.S. is not prepared to experience. Look, Ozark was a great show, but I don't want to be Marty Bird and live in fear every day. Unlike the modern American male, cartels aren't full of weak men. These are rough, tough, and ruthless guys. Let's look at 2007 to 2014, a time frame which contains some of the bloodiest years of Mexico's war on drug cartels. More than 164,000 people were killed. That's more than a number of civilians who died in Iraq and Afghanistan combined during that same time frame. Think about that for a second. Is that the type of bloody conflict we want just south of the border? It gets worse, though. Here's a little factoid that'll keep you up at night. Mexico President Felipe Calderon declared a war on the drug trade in 2006. Since then, more than 60,000 people have gone missing. More than half of the people that vanished are between the ages of 15 and 35. Thirdly, if Mexico can't beat the cartels, then what makes us think we can? A 2023 study showed that crime rose by more than 64% since just 2016. In fact, retail drug crimes saw the biggest spike, increasing by nearly 150%. Finally, Mexican cartels have hubs not just in their country and not just in the U.S., but in more than 100 countries around the globe. We may start the war in Mexico with airstrikes, then it'll spread to the U.S., and eventually it'll spread across the world. Who knows how many international conflicts that will get us into. Let's remember that airstriking a cartel as a terrorist organization brings with it a lot of risk we may not even be able to detect. As former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said back in 2002, there are known knowns. These are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know. And if one looks throughout the history of our country and other free countries, it is the latter category that tends to be the difficult ones. I can confidently say that a war with Mexican cartels would be an unknown unknown. Perhaps if Trump really wants to tackle the drug overdose epidemic in this country, then maybe he should start at home. Let me introduce you to the Sackler family. Their company, Purdue Pharma, pushed OxyContin on Americans starting in 1999. It generated more than $35 billion in revenue for the company. Use of opioid painkillers like OxyContin led to a serious addiction, one that would go on to kill nearly a quarter million people from 1999 to 2009. Just last month, the Sackler family agreed to pay $6.5 billion of their own money and give up ownership of their company, which would pay an additional $900 million. Now, Purdue Pharma pleaded guilty to federal criminal charges arising from its deceptive marketing of OxyContin in both 2007 and 2020. But don't worry, though. As part of those deals, the Sacklers will never spend one day in prison. Even after they pay the penalties, they'll still be fabulously wealthy, too. Because as of last year, the Sackler family's net worth was more than $10 billion. Here's a thought. How about we decriminalize drugs as a solution instead of war? In 2014, states began legalizing cannabis. After just 5 years, there was a 78% decrease in marijuana smuggling between ports of entry. I wonder what would happen if the federal government rescheduled cannabis and finally decriminalized marijuana. Or, God forbid, let people choose what goes into their own bodies and legalize all drugs. I'm a little perplexed why drug addicts are top priority. If they want to get loaded, why do I care? Why do I have to pay for a war, endure the violence and carnage, and watch American soldiers die for their addiction? But don't worry, I'm sure this war will be unlike all those of modern American history, and it won't blow up on our face. Because this time, we have a Fox & Friends host running the Defense Department. Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.